Yo, check this out, man.
The U.S. government has done some bad things over the years and will almost certainly continue to do them in the years ahead. Foreign policy has very little to do with morality. And as long as any action can be justified by explaining that it was performed in the national interest, that will continue to be the case. And so we give support to repressive governments in South Korea and Brazil and Chile because it is in our national interest to do so. We will supply sophisticated weapons to backward countries and betray an entire people like the Kurds, all because it is in our national interest.
This week in Radical History for the week of September 15th. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizers, and other radical info can be found in the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes.
This week in Radical History for September 15th, 1845, the first mass strike of women workers for a 10-hour workday took place when 5,000 women in textile mills in Pennsylvania walked off the job. The strike, however, was unsuccessful. Also on September 15th, 1923, Ku Klux Klan activities in Oklahoma reached such a high pitch that the governor is forced to declare a state of rebellion and insurrection. History seems to be more than willing to repeat itself as the modern-day KKK, known as neo-Nazi skinheads, are rearing its ugly heads in both the South, but also skinhead strongholds like parts of New Jersey. Also on September 15th, 1970, Tricky Dick Nixon orders the CIA to prevent the inauguration of Salvador Allende, a democratically elected president of Chile. They didn't succeed, however. The trickster further authorizes $250,000 to bribe Chilean congressmen. 3 years later, in 1973, folk singer Victor Jara is murdered in a massacre after the U.S.-sponsored overthrow of Allende is started. A quote from a Chilean housewife found in the New York Times at the time stated, "Allende's biggest mistake was not giving us weapons. A lot of people, even women, would have fought." The CIA is instrumental in Allende's murder and installing dictator Pinochet, who is responsible for tens of thousands of deaths, most native indigenous darker Chileans, who were in a continuous struggle against the lighter Spanish immigrants who took the lands. Like most of these proxy wars, it really is a struggle about indigenous versus the conquest of their lands. This week in Radical History for September 16th, 1915 in Haiti, U.S. takes control of customs and finance of Haiti for 10 years. To protect U.S. plundering interests, I'm sure. And the country becomes bankrupt, once one of the richest countries in this hemisphere. Also on September 16th, 1920, in revenge of the prosecution of Sacco and Vassetti, thousands take to the street in dozens of countries around the world. Propaganda the Deed anarchist Mario Buda detonates a horse and buggy bomb at the corner wall on Broad Street in Manhattan in retaliation for Sacco and Vassetti's deaths. The bomb explodes outside the J.P. Morgan Company in New York's Wall Street, causes $2 million worth of damage, and the ensuing fire would destroy Morgan's offices. The Sebra and Shatila massacre happened on this date in 1982, when Israeli Defense Forces, whose General Ariel Sharon is in charge of the Palestinian concentration camp set up by Israel on the border with Lebanon. Sharon would allow the Lebanese faction to enter the camp with arms, massacring perhaps more than 3,500 unarmed Palestinians. That is why, among many other outrages by the Israeli government and members of the Israeli government, why many of them are considered war criminals by many in the Middle East. Though we've invaded Iraq for violating 17 UN resolutions, Israel is in violation of over 40 UN resolutions about their handling of the longest occupation in modern history, the Palestinian occupation. Yet no matter what UN resolutions Israel violates, they get a free pass every time. A free pass to kill, a free pass to occupy, a free pass to demolish homes, a free pass to do whatever they want to the Palestinian people. This week in Radical History for September 17th, 1179, medieval proto-feminist, mystic, poetic visionary, and composer Hildegard of Bingen dies on this date. Known for many things, including some of the music you're hearing in the background right now, 8 of the original compositions have survived to this date. Hildegard's visionary writing maintained that virginity is the highest level of spiritual life. However, she also wrote about the secular life, including motherhood. She's the first woman to record a treatise on female sexuality, providing scientific accounts of female orgasms. As a side note, I suspect the 12th century Hildegard would be considered too radical for certain Alaskan governors' sensibilities.
I
Lastly, more sad news for September 17th, 1973 in Chile. At noon today, word had come down that Americans were missing. David Hathaway had been taken from his apartment. Frank Tertugi, American IWW member and journalist, was also unaccounted for. And sometime during that day, Charlie Horman would also be seized. Here's just some of what we know about the U.S. involvement in the disappearance and execution of Americans. Pinochet may have had CIA go-ahead to kill Americans, documents show. The Guardian. Though Chilean authorities never confirmed that Mr. Tertugi was executed, he was arrested in the apartment days after the coup and tortured at the National Stadium, witnesses said. His body was discovered in a morgue 10 days later, riddled with bullet holes. Quote, FBI watched an American who was killed in Chile coup, New York Times.
And so we give support to repressive governments in South Korea and Brazil and Chile because it is in our national interest to do so. What may be difficult to accept is that there's nothing new about that. In fact, it's what we hire our Secretary of State and our Foreign Service to do for us. And at best it is naive, at worst hypocritical, that they don't understand what's involved in that harsh reality.
This week in Radical History for September 18th, only got two items. 1838, under the forced removal order of Indiana, the Potawatomi are delivered to the ironically named Immigrant Agency concentration camps. Also on September 18, 1934, textile workers are out on strike on the East Coast. In all, 1.5 million workers strike in different industries in 1934. A broad anti-war movement is organized in college campuses as well. A nationwide strike against the war in 1934 drew some 25,000 students, whereas a strike in 1936 turned out an estimated 500,000 students.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
This week in Radical History for September 19th, I only have two items. 1776, George Washington's farewell address. He strongly warns against permanent alliances with foreign powers, large public debt, large military establishment, and devices of any small, artful, enterprising minority to control or change the government. Also on this date, 1856, U.S. forces invade Panama to protect American interests. To this date, the U.S. has over 700 military bases around the world. All protecting American interests, of course. Guess how many foreign military bases are on our soils? Two more items for this week in Radical History for September 20th, 1934. Southern employers continue their big counteroffensive to break the textile labor strike. 10,000 National Guardsmen mobilize, supplemented by 15,000 armed deputies, in an effort to stampede some 421,000 strikers and to force them back to work. Also on that date in 1974, Kootenai Nation in northern Idaho declares war on U.S. government with the objective of gaining reservation and tribal housing, roads, and community centers denied to them since the taking of their lands by the U.S. and Canadian governments, whose borders go through the Kootenai Nation's lands. This week in Radical History for September 21st, only got three items. 1638, New World. In a final act of the Pequot War, English officials and their Native American allies in Connecticut divide the surviving 72 Pequots and enslave them. The Puritans had lived under an uneasy truce with the Pequot, but they wanted them out of the way so they could take their land. Using the murder of a white trader and Indian kidnapper as an excuse, the English attacked the Indians on Block Island 2 years ago. Realizing the battle with tribal warriors was only one way to destroy their will, the colonists had turned to a terrorist strategy of massacring non-combatants. Before today's slave deal, the war concluded with the English attack on the Mystic River village, where troops led by Captain John Marston killed at least 600 Pequot. Never wanting to be outdone by the Americans, in 1989, Israeli soldiers began a 40-day occupation and house-to-house destruction of the Palestinian town of Beit Sharrum in retaliation for its mass 2 years refusal to pay taxes to the occupying Israeli government. To this day, Israel is still in violation of more UN resolutions than any other country in the world. Let's end on a good note, for on September 21st, 11 years ago, the Daily Bleed website came online. The Daily Bleed website. Awesome work, and thank you, Daily Bleed. This has been This Week in Radical History, produced out of the Glee Glee Studios. Big thanks to the Slingshot organizer and the Daily Bleed website for both radical info and also radical inspiration. Special thanks to all those radio stations airing my little ditty each and every week, and thanks for all the kind words about this program. This Week in Radical History is produced for the not-for-profit community and micropower radio use worldwide, and is a standalone production produced for the Mike Cannon Indie Media Radio Show. The Mike Cannon Show is a 3-hour weekly indie media radio program. For program info on this or other audio projects I'm involved in, please feel free to contact me at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. Cannon is spelled C-A-N-N-O-N. So that's all one long run-on word, themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. Got to run. Until next week's This Week in Radical History, I am always and forever yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon. Come closer.